So welcome back to the Mawa Dissing Show. I'm Shirley Nordrum.
I'm Sharon Nordrum.
And today we're over in Detroit Lakes visiting with Rick Kagagabe, and also known as Rick the Blanket Maker. Thank you so much for sitting down and visiting with us about your art. So you're a blanket maker, not a quilt maker.
That is correct.
A blanket maker.
Yes. One of the things that my parents grew up in the world where you didn't discuss your nativeness, you didn't teach it to your children. So I wasn't really taught very much when I was younger. Since I wasn't brought up with it, I didn't know that it was around me, even though I lived on a reservation in LCO. But my dad, he would go to the communities. One was the St. Croix community, which is the Round Lake area, mm-hmm. Over by Turtle Lake, Wisconsin. They were so poor that we gave them our extra commodities. And I remember going over there, and then he would take me to their big drum ceremonies. Mm-hmm. And then he would take us over to Lake Lena, to their drum. And I noticed that the main items given away were either material or blankets. And I had this crazy thought that it would be really way cooler if I did blankets. And so with no sewing skills whatsoever, didn't know what a seam allowance was. I made my first blanket, and it was actually a four-pointed star. So it wasn't blocks and triangles and stuff like that. I just went all out and just thought, you know, it had calves on it. But it was four-pointed star. It was basically a queen size. And from there, only until when I got married, my first wife, I stopped making blankets. Then once that was over, I picked it right up again, and yeah. I just never stopped.
But your first blanket was a pointed star?
Four-pointed star.
Nothing, like, challenging?
No, I just, well, that I think that was the cool thing. It's, you think of young kids when they don't know the dangers of things. They just go right into it. So it's, yeah, I didn't know the dangers of sewing. So I decided, I'll just walk through this door and see what happens. But it became an obsession, a passion. To me, I don't really consider myself an artist. I watch people and they say, "Oh, okay, I'm gonna draw this," and it's like, "Oh my God, look at that! It's just, it looks exactly like looking out the window." Mine is like, my trees are literally stick figures, you know. But I do bring a lot of the culture into my blankets. I try to. So it's, then if I'm given tobacco for something to do a blanket, I like to get some information from you.
Yeah.
But most of the time, people, I trust you. And it's like, well, I wouldn't. And the reason why I say that is because the example I use is you watch an old black and white movie, and you always hit that scenario where the woman comes through the door to the private eyes office. And she's got this most beautiful red dress on.
Yep.
And black and white allows the three of us to imagine our own red. So when you say, well, I trust you, it's like, okay, my red may not be the same as yours.
Mm-hmm.
So you're putting a lot of trust in me into what you think you might want. And I wrote on my Facebook page is a little bit of an ego trip where, you know, I want to feel good. If you feel good about what I've done, then that makes me feel good. So I really don't want to do anything that's, here you go. But then I do have people who come to me and they, here you go. So I give them something back that's, here you go. So it's like, you put better energy into it, enthusiasm, you will get that back.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you know, it's like, I see you and I got to try to make you in that blanket.
Yeah.
And traits. So if you don't tell me anything, then I go by what I see. So I've done three skirts, and my wife wanted one for the watermark showing. It's based on one of the blankets. While there, a woman gave me tobacco for another skirt. And it's like, oh, okay, I make blankets, not skirts.
Just go sew up one side of a small blanket, put some elastic in it, you got a skirt.
Leave the quilting part, the backing off of it.
Yeah, I'll put batting in there. And but that's the one thing is the way my mind goes is that, you make blankets. Oh, man, you can make this ribbon shirt, or you can make this, like, okay, you're putting things together that, remember, I'm
I work I'm with self-taught. Flat. I work flat squares.
Yeah, yeah, and it just. But the when she gave me tobacco for that, she gave me her Ojibwe name. She gave me her clan, and she gave me her colors, and she gave me color what she likes, her favorite color, and so that gave me something to work with.
Right.
And and so then I can show them on there, or some of them I'll have to explain it. I really have to explain it because I like using the not just the material. So if you look at the clothes you're wearing, mm-hmm. you know, I do all mine basically applique, so you can see all the sew marks.
Yeah.
And so the color of thread becomes important.
Yes,
it does.
Yeah. And it's kind of like when you're younger and when you would color something, you would take your color and you would outline the picture in the darker red and then really shade it in with the red. It's something like that, to where that thread actually gives it meaning. And the yarn, this is the reason why I don't quilt it, is I put yarn through it, and then the yarn actually tells part of the story also. And so there's, you get more into it, and people, it's like, oh, I see you made a mistake there. It's like, no, that's, all the yarn is orange, but you see one red piece, that's not a mistake. It's where it's at, that's where the heart is at, that's where the person's heart is on that piece right there. Yeah. So it's not that, you know, I ran out of orange, and people won't notice the difference between orange and red. So there's a lot of the hidden concepts. Well, they're not hidden, they're right there. It's just that...
you just have to be open to seeing them.
Open to seeing them. And I'd like to do a lot of 3D stuff. So you have to imagine if you could turn it, the blanket to the side and actually look at it, that it's sticking out, and that the circle you're looking into is actually a portal, like into another realm.
Wow.
And then the background of the blanket itself is just like the wall here. The window here is that portal, which is actually sticking out in front of the wall. So it's, you get two layers there, and then when you look through the window, it's actually way past it. So there's things like that that I like doing, but people don't realize it. You know, they just, if you don't see that three-dimensional little markings on it that shows you that it's 3D, people don't look at it as 3D. And they, I think, to me, they miss a lot when you do that.
I just think people generally, especially people today, generally miss a lot.
They do.
Overall. They miss nature. They, you know, they're going through life, and like there's, I bet you if we did a survey, there's people that don't even know the robins are back, or that, you know, Ajijak is back, or that they don't know what's happening there, that the tree out here is blooming. They're mm-hmm. just going through life, and, you know, so if they can't see that, you know, you can't really expect them to stop and really appreciate and see the deep and depth of art.
Yeah, yes. You know? Ever since when the first wife left, I lived in Duluth, and I came across a song. I think her name is Basha. I think it's the name, Basia. Went to the library to keep my mind busy, and I came across, I'm going to try this new CD. And the first song I heard on her, she sang about looking out a window, looking out my window, what is the beauty I see, or what do I see? Where is all this beauty when I loved you? And so that hit really deep, because I did not know there was a beautiful lake sitting there at the edge of Duluth for all those years I was married. And so after that, it's like, oh my, geez, where did this, Lake Superior, where did it come from? and so to me, I freak a lot of people out, and I freaked my daughters out when they were younger. Dad, you're scaring us. It's because of the way I would talk, and it what people would say were visions and stuff like that, which to me, you know, the spirit showed me this. They used to show me a lot of designs to the point where I'd draw them out and color them, but it would be too much. You know, it's like it's... Okay, I'm done. Next one, next one, next one. They're coming too quick. So I try to do it the best I can to record them. But what one of the things that had happened was, in myself, there was this deeper appreciation for other people's pieces that they did. Not to just see the vase, but to actually look, you know, were these lines intentional here? And, you know, and so really examine it. So you go to a museum and... I'm really looking at lines and stuff, and what are they trying to tell me? What story do I read off of this? And the same way with my blankets is that I try to read the story that's put into it. I recently did one blanket where I put black yarn. I didn't know where to, what to put in these four spots. And so I put black yarn. And the woman who asked for that blanket, I said, I tried to explain what I see on that blanket. I said, I don't know the whole story. Sometimes they don't tell me nothing because it's not for me to know. I said, I don't know why these black. I said, what does these black, what is black to you? And she told me the she has a connection with ravens. And so I said, okay. I said, that I understand it now. I understand why I put black there in those spots. And so it's I want people to see that in mind. Not only that, but to expand on my story. So they really have to use their mind.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, look, I see some trees. I see a dog running in front and stuff like that. It's like, no, what you don't see is you're not looking at the shadow on the ground and that the shadow is smiling, you know, and that the shadow is blue and that it's in the spirit world. And it's not the shadow of the wolf. It's the wolf, a physical wolf in this realm and a spirit wolf walking next to it.
That's really cool.
So there's that type of thing. And so in other people's artwork, you know, I seen artwork where there's, you wouldn't think much of it, but yeah, there's, you just look at it. And so I think a deeper appreciation is what I've gained. And I'm really happy for that. And that helps me to expand my abilities on blankets too.
Yeah.
I know what you mean about that, looking at some people's art and you're just like, wonder what they were going for. And then you start really looking at it and what you thought was just like a field of flowers really isn't a field of flowers after all. There's a whole nother story there. I think that we're going through this world so fast that we're not taking the time to stop and look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And really understand what people are trying to say. Because they can't stop and say it because nobody's listening. So yeah. They're trying to communicate it through their art. And we're still not listening.
Now, I talked to my wife the other day and I brought up Andy Warhol's, what is that, his tomato soup. And, you know, it's like, okay, that's their cans of soup. But I also think to myself, you know, oh, this isn't much. But I also think to myself that during that time period where he was at, where was his mind? So I try to get into that kind of aspect, you know, mm-hmm. then the cans of soup mean more than, you know, it's like, we don't get those in commodities, or not back then. But yeah, that's one of the things that I had an experience with a friend of mine. I had left the Round Lake area in St. Croix Falls there. The people I was staying with, they were kind of wanting me to do this and that, and I didn't want to do this and that. And having the relatives do this, have him do this for me. And I just got tired of it, so I called him up and I said, yeah, come get me. So I left. I just moved out. And on the way home, this friend of mine, he used to call me up 2:00 in the morning. And my dad, I said he had the heart condition. So it's 2:00 in the morning, I wake up, and it's like, oh man, it's my dad. And it's my friend. He goes, oh, what are you doing? I said, I might work here, bored. And it's like, well, an hour ago, I put the book down and went to bed. I said, well, I just finished reading. You know, I didn't tell him an hour ago. But we would be on the phone for an hour, and I would talk 55 minutes to his 5 minutes. So when I moved out from down that area, he picked me up, and he had a big change in his life. He had found religion is what he had done. So the two-hour drive back, now the table had turned to where he talked a ratio of 55 to my 5. So 2 hours. So yeah, he talked for about almost hour and 10 minutes or hour 50 minutes to my 10 minutes. But he talked about how walking through this world, how it was really difficult and there's so much evil and darkness and stuff and that he's tired. He just kept talking like that. And so when he was finished, I said, look out in the woods there. So what do you see? And he's like, you know, it's like, that's kind of an open question. What does he want? It's like, well, I see the trees and I see there's snow out there. And basically he just described what he saw. And I said, I tell you what, I said, this is what I see. I said, it's nighttime and the moon is bright and it's shining through the trees. And you can see the glistening off the hard crusted snow through the trees. And so what I see is the beauty in which the Creator gave us to enjoy, what he gave us to enjoy. I said, that's what I see. I don't see the evil and stuff like that because, you know, what they say, you go looking for it.
You'll find it.
It was great that he had found something.
Uh-huh.
I had a friend, well, she's gone now, but she was heavy into drugs and things like that. She she knew the traditional ways, but she got off her path and mm-hmm. went into the drugs, and they were the kind of drugs, like the meth, that you don't ever really recover from. And then did prison, and it was like a couple times of this stuff going on. And then she found religion. Mm-hmm. And a couple of my other, you know, the group of friends of us, they were kind of like talking about making fun of her for having this Christianity religion. And they said, you know, as long as she's happy, mm-hmm. as long as that's what gets her yeah. through, as long as that's what keeps her clean, I don't care what she believes, you know. Mm-hmm. Right now, she's as happy as she's going to be. Just let her be. Don't be trying yeah. to take her off that.
Yeah.
She's happy, you know. Yep. So, yeah, I get what you say. That out there, I know, is everything the Creator gave me. And I'm excited every time my eyes open to have another day like that.
Yeah. My friend said, people would say, oh, man, today's a beautiful day. And he would say, every day is a beautiful day.
Yeah. Every day is a beautiful day.
Every day is a beautiful day.
Yesterday, the skies were gray and heavy with clouds, and the thunder just kept rumbling, and it was a little bit rain, and man, I was just like excited about that.
You know? It was hot and humid down in Shakopee.
And today is bright and sunny, and I'm happy with that. This is...
I got into a kind of a trance listening to the rain. It was we got a piece of metal out here and it just drips off the roof.
Oh man, and, love that sound.
And after a while, it's like it stopped, you know, and I was just relaxed, peaceful into that, and then it stopped, and I was like, oh man, that's kind of a bummer. You know? And most people are like, oh man, when's the rain gonna stop? And I was like, why did it stop? But yeah, I do have a few pieces. I don't know if you want to look at
any. For sure, I would love to see them.
You want to see the skirts or you want to see the blankets first?
Blankets, I think.
Skirts.
This skirt here is just...
That reminds me of my grandma.
Yes.
It's just what I call just a plain skirt, ribbon skirt.
But it's old material. It looks... It's
old school material.
Yeah, it looks like the older. I didn't know my grandma. She passed away when I was 2. Mm-hmm. But I had some material that was hers. And this is the colors that she had and the type of material that she had. So whenever I see that, it's like, oh, that's grandma.
Yeah. So you're going to have to get a skirt made. And like I mentioned before about them old ladies that put the do-rag on and stuff like that.
I don't think they called it a do-rag. I think it was a handkerchief.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's pretty.
This one here is what she wore at the watermark. Showing.
That is full.
And this is actually the one that I had 2 blankets. One was called a fire deer shield. Mm-hmm. The other one was called the air shield. This is the one that is off the air shield. Air shield, I had a lot of, the thunderbolts. So I had the thunder beans on there. Well, I had them on all over the place. The colors mean a lot to me, and most of the time they mean the same thing. The gray is your grandmother, is the grandmother moon. The red road, or some people associate women with red, men with blue. Mm-hmm. So you see the red, and that's why you have the red.
I love material. That red, that material. Star, that little touch of
the cosmos.
Yeah, and that's what I like is the universe or the spirit world.
Yeah,
and this is the back. Side of it, 4 directions, and that's one of the things that you see. There's a lot of colors that they use to represent the 4 directions of medicine wheels and stuff like that. I don't have very much knowledge of it, but people will use these 4 colors, or you see medicine wheels where they have the white, black.
Yeah, we had a big discussion about this up in Bemidji. They have on Tuesdays. They have it's called the teachings. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of discussion about the medicine wheel. Like the most common that you see is, yellow, red, black, and white. Which color represents which direction is kind of up for debate too. But the person teaching up there, in which I had heard before a number of times, is that those are Lakota colors. Mm-hmm. And that the Anishinaabe colors were the yellow, red, green, and blue. Mm-hmm. You know, it's cool if you want to do Lakota colors, nothing wrong with that, but why not promote our own colors when we're doing that stuff and then try to get back to them? So it's really refreshing and nice to see.
I like that too.
I actually was talking to a guy time, and I said, oh, over here they do it this way. Holy man, I got an ear beating. This is the way we do it here. And which is true. You see a lot of ceremonies have changed from areas, and I think part of it is due to, well, you use what you have in the area, you know. And the other thing is, I think, is man's way of, you know, I'm gonna put this in here. Their own changes to it,
yeah,
which is now the altars from the original path. I was told that, I believe it was, it's like white, red, yellow, and blue. We don't use black, so we use blue, but that was over in LCO area. But yeah, this is my wife, that's the colors, so that's the colors I use for it.
Where is she from?
She's from here.
Oh, she's from here.
She's
okay.
From White Earth. I'm the transplant. But yeah, she explains things to me, and then 10 minutes later, you know, she'll have to explain them again. So this is off the one blanket. This is the one I just finished.
Oh, nice.
Now, this is the front. The woman, she's Wolf Clan, and I asked her permission, even though she gave me tobacco to make this, and she said that, well, you made it, you know, you created it, you can tell the story. It's like she told me her Ojibwe name, but I won't give that up to you.
No.
So, but she gave me her colors, and she was given permission to use the rainbow colors as an extended view of her colors.
Mm.
So this is not the color she was given, but she has permission to use them as her color. So it's the rainbow. So you can see that this is her. This is going across here. These ribbons here are the red and the gray. This is the path you walk. And of course, this is her. And then this is grandmother. So you're walking with grandmother.
Walking with her.
This one right here, most time I'll associate gray with Grandmother Moon, and especially if it's for a woman, or the idea of feminine. So it doesn't have to be for a woman, it could be a man's also, but still have a feminine side to him. So these two reds right here, even though they're connected, are not the same. This is her walking.
Nice.
And it's the same on the back. We were told that you, when you sleep, you should have your head in the north. So as you lay in the north, and north is this way over here, the sun rises to the east, and so that's why you see on the left hip that it's daytime. Then again, you see there's her rainbow, her colors. And then as the day progresses into night, you get into the evening.
That hip is
and the stitching around the stars is the rainbow again.
Is the rainbow again. And you see that, well, I got her clan in there.
Yeah.
I got her clan.
Wolf paw.
What I'll explain to her is that this is where her Ojibwe name is sitting right here.
Wow.
In there. Even the ribbons on the bottom. There are two shades of gray. One is grandmother, one on top.
The top one.
The one on the bottom is her Wolf Clan. Now, this material here, I bought this. Penny and I, we went out and we bought this here, and it's like, oh, this is nice. She likes blue. I found this, I liked it.
It's beautiful. And again, has that old feel to it.
Now it has like a gold metallic look.
Yeah, like embossing.
Yeah, on blue. After I bought this, I messaged her and I said, what color are your eyes? She goes, well, I get a rare color. She goes, they're blue, but then sometimes they will go in the range of blues. She goes, but they're blue eyes, but they're ringed with gold. And I say, well, geez, the material I bought was was blue with gold metallic. So it's like, well, without even knowing her eye color, I had already picked out material that suited her eyes. Then the blue ribbon down here is her, because it is sewn down with gold colored thread.
Yeah.
So is this venture into skirts must relatively new?
Yeah, when I was like, I think about 17 years old, I found an old pair of 70s jeans of my sister's. I cut them up and I made a gun case out of it. So I had this really funky gun case when I was younger. But, and that was just something that's like, I'll never do again. Oh, the gray threads on here, I like to think of that as those wolves when they run in packs,
yeah.
Their trails that they leave and stuff like that. So this is them running all over. I'll be meeting her tomorrow up north.
She's gonna love it.
I hope so.
Have you ever had a showing of your work?
Just at Watermark. But I've been doing blankets now for about 37 years. So I just never had a showing or anything like that. One of the biggest compliments I got was in Walmart. I would talk to the people in the fabric department. And this one woman, I got to talking to her, this was a few years ago, and I said, oh yeah, I said, I do blankets, and she traveled a lot. So I said, yeah, show me blankets, because the places you go to, I'll never get to. So show me what you've seen and bring me there with you. Then I would show her pictures of my blankets. Well, I finally did bring in pictures, and there's this one woman, the best way I can describe her is one of those old church ladies.
So we all know what she looks like now.
Yeah. And, so she goes, oh, she goes, I make I make blankets too. I make quilts. And she took the pictures, and I knew I was being judged. And as she looked at the pictures, she just, one after another, she just looked at them and said nothing. And finally she got to one, she goes, oh, the Mariner Star, and then kept looking. And then she gave the pictures back, and she left, and that was it. No comment whatsoever but the Mariner Star. And she was wrong. It was not a Mariner Star. It looked like a Mariner Star, because if you looked at it from the side, you'd see that it was actually two stars, one in front of the other, is what it was, and then one shifted. So it looked like a Mariner Star, but it was actually like twin stars is what they were.
Oh, yeah.
So she didn't, I knew that she was really putting me under her thumb. I knew I was being judged, but with her saying nothing, to me that was a great compliment, because she's never seen anything like that before.
Yep, she didn't know what to say.
She didn't see it in any of the pattern books or anything like that, because mine don't come from the pattern books. So that was one of the greatest compliments I ever had. And she didn't know it. This blanket here is I made for my wife's 50th birthday. She is Crane Clan. And what you see here is the backside of a crane, wings spread out, and it's wearing a shawl. And green is her favorite color, so it's a green shawl. And on that shawl, you see grandfather's son. So that's why I use the yellow. That's what you know,
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And it's like it's a shield.
Yes.
And you see that gold metallic material around it. That's the edging of the shield.
Beautiful.
And inside there's a little old lady, and she's wearing a robe. And that's one of my favorite things to do, is put that little old lady on there. And as you look at the old lady there, I like putting the four strands of hair. And not many people notice that there's four strands of hair that are wisping out like that. Not many people would notice too that there are four copper colored ones. Three copper and one white.
One white.
And if you looked at the edging of the blanket, you also find the three copper and one white on there. To me, I was always told that a woman's hair is very important. That's where her strength is at. So you don't try not to cut it and stuff like that, only in certain circumstances. But you see her hair. She's got native hair. It's got to be dark. And except for she's got white and brown hair.
Right.
The white is more of purity hair. And then it's your elder status. And the white section, there are actually two braids. The white section actually goes into a lightning bolt.
I saw that.
It's a lightning bolt, and you see the little eagle feathers on the end. And on her back is, of her robe, is a star with the grandmother moon behind it. And then the star is red, so it's female, along with the edging on the robe. Just below her, you see twin turtles, clouds.
Turtle clouds. I saw them, saw them clouds, but I didn't realize they were turtles with lightning bolts on the bottom.
Yeah, they're rimmed with, on the bottom of the shell, are lightning bolts. And okay, as it goes out, their tails intertwine and colored through with the rainbow. And you see a little, there's a little tornado there with a lightning bolt on the side. And you see two little stars, one on each of the turtle clouds. Those represent our three children. They didn't survive, but we put them on her because we still remember them. And then you see the little floral pattern and the berries and stuff going circular. The first quill box that she made, that was the rim she made outside of the quill box.
Oh, cool.
So what I did was I drew it out, and I actually put it on the blanket here. Because it's like, geez, there's a lot of open space. What should I put there? Yeah, that was just like, I'll put her, what she did for her quill work.
Nice.
So that's from her quill work.
I like that.
Yeah, I've never seen a blanket like that.
Me either.
So this is,
we have brown tacking, your brown yarn, above the tornado.
Mm-hmm.
We have gray, and the rest are yellow. So what's with the one brown? What does that represent?
The one brown is for my son. That's him. You see red. The red sometimes I'll put for the heart, or for here I got it up higher, so it's more like the mind. You know, that's an Indian woman, Native woman. And you see a lot of brown. I use a copper color. There's a thread that I really love. It's a copper color.
Yeah.
When people ask me, what's your favorite color? And I was like, well, I really don't have a favorite color. Sometimes when you look at the night sky, those different hues of blue, beautiful. And I said, but it depends what you look at. You know, this red and that red on these two different objects looks good there and not over there. But I love that. It turns out, I guess I really love copper. You'll see it a lot in my blankets. But yeah, this is the blanket I made for her.
It's gorgeous.
Absolutely beautiful. Be sure to tune in next week for part two. This program has been funded by the Legacy Arts, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.